Remember, the main theme of 1 Peter was suffering or testing through trials. The main theme of 2 Peter is knowledge and being tested through false doctrines. And Peter wanted to prepare the saints for those things that would come, the trials and the tests of our doctrine. And so that's why the key word of 2 Peter is the word know or knowledge. 16 times it shows up. We saw last week the benefits of that knowledge, where God has given us this precious faith, and He's also given us this divine nature, and He wants us to learn about it, and He wants us to live it. Because the alternative, as we'll see in this next passage, is a blind Christian, which none of us would want to be. Notice in verse 5, the Bible says, "And beside this," so that "beside this" is pointing back to the fact that God has given us this divine nature. He says, "Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." So, the blind Christian is what we're going to talk about this evening. Lord, I pray you'd use your word in our hearts to teach us, to change us, to grow us. Lord, we give you this time. We're thankful for this opportunity, and we love you. Meet with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So, God gave us this divine nature. God gave us the Holy Ghost when we got saved. And as Peter explains here, we have now within us the one who can bear this fruit if we will yield to him. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. You've read a lot of these in Galatians 5. Fruit of the Spirit. As we yield to the Holy Ghost, as we yield to the divine nature that we already have, this is what should happen. This is the kind of Christian God wants us to be. And, you know, the measurement of spirituality for a Christian isn't their knowledge of God's Word necessarily. Because you can have Christians who maybe they're good at memorizing, or maybe they study a lot and they get to the deeper meaning of the Word. But that doesn't make a person spiritual. What makes a person spiritual is when the Spirit is controlling their lives. And if a Spirit is controlling your life, then these things are going to happen naturally. Because He's the one that's bringing these out. We don't have within us the capability to be virtuous, or to be temperate, or to be patient, or to be godly, or to be kind, or to have charity. But God does. And as we yield to God, He can make all of these a reality in our lives. So what Peter's saying is, you should be growing in these areas. You should be growing as you yield to the Holy Spirit. You should be growing in faith. The Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please Him, right? You should be growing in virtue. You should be growing in knowledge, which, of course, is the theme of this book. Look at the last verse of the book of 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can make a choice to grow in knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. He wants us to grow in temperance, which is self-control. He wants us to grow in patience, in godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. Of course, there's a few more in Galatians 5, but these are all the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. If we're a spiritual Christian, it'll be obvious, because these traits will flow out of us from God. Again, we don't have the capability to accomplish any of these things in our own strength, because we're wicked sinners. But the day we got saved, the day that we accepted this precious faith, we were given the divine nature. And we can be this kind of Christian. Notice what he says in verse 8. If these be in you and abound. So there's God's will, that we abound in these things. If we're not abounding in faith, We're not abounding in virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. We're not where God wants us to be yet. And by the way, if God says that it's possible to abound, then that's God's will. And God can make it happen if we'll yield to Him. If they abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Remember, these are the fruit of the Spirit. The alternative is to be an unfruitful Christian. And notice that word shows up again in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's always going to, as we walk through this book, it's going to keep coming back to the Word. How do we abound in these things? How do we be a fruitful Christian? We've got to be in the Word. Because the Word is what grows us. The Word is what feeds us. The Word is what makes us more like Jesus. And we'll, sure enough, we won't be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge. But look at the alternative. Verse 9, this is a key verse of this passage. But he that lacketh these things, he's still talking to Christians. But, as you and I both know, oftentimes Christians aren't mature. Oftentimes Christians aren't spiritual. Often they aren't abounding in faith or virtue or knowledge or temperance or patience or godliness or kindness or charity. How can that be? Because it always comes down to us. We have a choice. Again, we talked about this last week. It'd be great because we've been given the divine nature. If we could just say, okay, from this day forward, I'm just God's divine nature is going to control my life and I'm going to be a perfect Christian. Wouldn't that be great? I'd love that. Just turn on the switch and it's done. But it doesn't work that way. God gets more glory when we do the right thing by choice, when we yield to the Holy Ghost by choice, than if He was to make us a robot and force us to do so. You know, when we serve God, when we love God, when we praise God, when we thank God of our own free will, that brings Him glory as His creation. He didn't force us to do it. We did it because He's worthy and we wanted to and we love Him. But he that lacketh these things... So if we're not bearing fruit the way God's commanded us here, if we're not a fruit-bearing Christian, notice what it says. It says he's blind. He's blind. And if you also notice, none of these things that are listed here are external things. There's too many Christians out there that get way carried away about the externals. And think, oh, you know, if they just dress a certain way or wear their hair a certain way or whatever, they're obviously spiritual. And they think vice versa is true. None of these things have to do with our external appearance, do they? Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. They all are matters of the heart. And I'm a firm believer that if your heart's right, the outside will take care of itself. It's, you know, if we keep dictating the outside, we're not going to get anywhere with the heart. But the opposite is true. If the heart gets right, the rest will take care of itself. God wants us to abound in these matters of the heart. Because the alternative is if we aren't, God says we're blind. That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? We're blind. Now, how is blindness possible for a Christian? Well, it unfortunately is, because this is speaking to Christians. So let's look at a couple scriptures. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, just over to the right. And we'll see that two primary things can blind a Christian. And you already know what these two things are. The first one is sin. Notice 1 John 2:11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. 1 John is written to Christians. He's saying that a Christian can be blind because what? He's walking in darkness. Sin blinds. When a Christian is living in sin and disobedience to God, it makes it to where they can't see what they're supposed to be able to see, which we'll talk more about later. So sin blinds, but also the devil blinds. The devil is good at lying to us and whispering things in our ears that aren't true. And he can cause Christians to not see what they're supposed to see. And that, of course, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds. So the Bible teaches that if we lack these things that he lists here, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brother, kindness, charity, if we're not abounding in these things, God says we're a blind Christian. Isn't that something? And then he defines it for us here in verse 9 of 2 Peter 1. Cannot see afar off. So part of being a blind Christian is not being able to see what either God has done or what God is going to do. Afar off. In both directions, I believe he's talking about there. So first of all, what God has done, where do we learn about that? In the Scriptures. In the Old Testament. We need to be studying the Old Testament. We need to be learning more about what our God has done. But also, what He will do. They're blind. They can't see these things. They can't. That's what, you know, doesn't the Bible say the just shall walk by faith? A blind Christian doesn't see things by faith. He can't see the blessings that God's going to take care of and meet all of our needs. He can't see the mansions that are waiting for us in heaven. Can't see the judgment or the chastisement that awaits us if we choose to disobey God. Can't see afar off. They're focused on right now, the here and now. Which, that's the way the world is, right? Christians aren't supposed to be like that. But a Christian who is blind, a Christian who is not abounding in this divine nature that God has given them, God says they can't see afar off. They can't walk by faith. And the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So He's not talking here about seeing physical stuff. You understand that. He's talking about spiritual. He's talking about, you know, how the Bible says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. The Bible says heaven is better than we can imagine. But a blind Christian doesn't see those things. So he can't see afar off in either direction, can't see what God's done, what God's going to do. And then it says he also can't see what God's done for him personally. Look what it says. He hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. All of us know Christians who really aren't interested in living for God. They don't go to church. They don't read their Bibles. They don't pray. They don't witness. Really, for them, Christianity doesn't mean much. They claim to be Christians, but there's just nothing there. These are people that are blind. These are people that have forgotten. God saved me from hell. God saved me from my sin. God gave me eternal life. God said He would never leave me nor forsake me. God loves me. They've forgotten these things. They've forgotten that they were purged. And think about it. They've forgotten that Jesus died on the cross and suffered and shed His blood and rose again for them. They've forgotten. Now maybe they might be able to say they know these facts, but they've forgotten in their heart all the things that God has done for them. Now Jesus told a parable in Luke chapter 7, if you turn there. Actually, it's not a parable. It's a story that happened in Jesus' life. That kind of shows us what God's trying to tell us here about forgetting what God has done. Because honestly, every single day of our Christian lives should be a thank you note to God. Amen? Because we can never thank Him enough for what He's done for us. By saving us, by giving us eternal life, by promising us a mansion in heaven. We could go on and on. But sometimes Christians are blind and they forget. There is a story, we won't turn there, but remember the 10 lepers in Luke 17? And they came and said, Lord, heal us. And Jesus said, okay, and He healed them. And they all took off running, and then they realized they were healed, and only one came back. And Jesus said, where are the nine? That was his question. These guys, I healed their leprosy. They didn't even come back and say thank you. That's a blind Christian. They're not grateful. They take it for granted what God has done. Notice here in Luke 7, verse 40, the Bible says, Jesus answering, said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. Now this is after this woman had broken this alabaster box and shed these tears and washed Christ's feet. This isn't Simon Peter. This is a different Simon, Simon's house. And Jesus said, because everybody's whispering to themselves, if he knew what kind of woman this was that was touching him right now, he wouldn't let her touch him. And instead, he allowed her to do it and then used her as an object lesson to talk about gratitude. To say, this woman understands she's a sinner. She doesn't doubt it in the slightest. She knows she's a sinner, and she's so grateful for my forgiveness. This is Christ talking. She's so grateful for what I've done for her that she just doesn't care what other people think, and she's going to do whatever she can for me, which she did. She gave pretty much all that she had when she broke that box for him. And has he forgiven us any less? No. Because we're all sinners alike. But he's saying to Simon, hey Simon, when I came you didn't wash my feet. Why not? I'm the Lord of heaven. In other words, you're taking me for granted. That's what a blind Christian does. He can't see afar off, and he hath forgotten the amazing things that God has done for him, that he has been purged from his old sins. This woman, she didn't care what people thought, and she chose to love him in proportion to her gratitude for what Jesus had done for her. God says we should all do that. We should look at what God has done for us, that we've been purged from our old sins, and that should drive us to live a life of gratitude. Doesn't the Bible say we love Him because He first loved us? Praise God. He did first love us. 2,000 years ago on Calvary, He loved us so much He was willing to do all He did for us, all those sacrifices on our behalf. How can we forget that? That's what a blind Christian does. So that's, you know, Peter's warning here as he gets into the book is, be careful. Be careful that you don't get blinded by sin, that you don't get blinded by the devil, and stop seeing afar off, stop seeing back and forward all that God has done and all that God will do, and even stop remembering what God has done. You know, you go out and talk to the average backslidden Christian. Do they really think about Jesus' sacrifice every day? No. It's not important to them. Because let's face it, if we did think about it every day and we did ponder it every day, what would be our automatic response? Gratitude. I want to do whatever I can for God because look what He did for me. So a blind Christian is one that can't see afar off, and can't remember what God has done for him. And Peter's saying, what's the alternative? To yield to the divine nature. And as he says in verse 8, abound. Abound in faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, kindness, and charity. Abound. So it's one or the other. We're either abounding in this fruit of the Spirit, or we are blind. Let's not be a blind Christian. Amen? Let's pray.